Great. And so, welcome. This is the informational meeting for the Resilient Catholics community. For those that are considering joining our upcoming cohort, the St. Dymphna cohort, our fourth cohort. And I'm really excited to see you. So many names that I have recognized, some folks I've been in communication with. So really happy to have you here. This is an opportunity to get questions answered, to have concerns addressed, to help you in the discernment about joining the RCC or applying to the RCC for this cohort. And one of the things I want to say right off the bat is that this is really about our hearts. We talk a lot in the church about the salvation of souls. I like to think about the salvation of hearts too. Hearts, not just our souls, but also our hearts. It's one of the reasons we're named the way we are in Souls and Hearts. It's not just about our souls, it's about all of us. And what gets left behind so often is, I think, so much of our humanity, our human formation. The RCC is really a shelter, a refuge for Catholics that understand that they're hurting, that they're suffering in some way, that they need some help with the heart, that are willing to go beyond soul care, or in addition to caring for their souls, to also care for the rest of them, because we are not just souls. And so we really are looking for Catholics. We're a good fit for Catholics who want to work on their human formation, who want to practice loving themselves in an ordered way, a more ordered way. Most people find us because somebody says something to them, says, "Hey, you might want to check out Interior Integration for Catholics," or, "You might want to take a look at these weekly reflections." They have an experience of what I'm talking about in Interior Integration for Catholics or in the weekly reflections really making sense. And that is some of these ideas about the multiplicity of self, the idea that we have parts, that those parts within us can be in conflict, often are in conflict. That makes sense. There's this desire to really work in a way where we begin to love ourselves in a more complete way. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how, in order to have union with anyone else, including God, we need to have unity within. We need to be able to be connected and united within. And the effects of original sin, the sins of others, and our own sins is to fragment us. It's one of the effects of sin. And that happens not just on a spiritual level, but it happens on a natural level. So there isn't a particular spirituality in the RCC. It's not like you can look at the RCC and say, "Hey, this is Carmelite or Benedictine or things like that." This is before that, in a sense, about the human formation, the sort of basic natural foundation. So when we have that basic formation, the human formation, when we have that, we're freer to be able to love God, to love our neighbor. It's supposed to help us along the road to salvation. So I want to introduce now Marion Bean Moreland. She is the lead navigator for the RCC, for the Resilient Catholics community. just to have her say a few words, you know, and to introduce her, and to have, you know, just to have her, you know, kind of say a few things about what might be most on her heart.
Thank you, Dr. Peter, and welcome to everyone that's here. It is, it's an honor for me to be here and to be with you and to be with other Catholics who are open to ways that we can grow and develop in not only our relationship with God, but how we relate with others, which, you know, the two aren't separate. I'm coming into this community. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I'm an internal family systems therapist, and came in here because I started seeing in the secular world how transforming internal family systems could be. And then given an opportunity to have that integration of faith has been huge. It's been life-changing in my own life. You can just ask my adult daughters and how I communicate with them now. But I've also had, you know, been blessed to be able to see lives transformed, whether it's in my personal practice or people that I've met through here. So I'm grateful to be here with you and to be with you if this is the journey you decide to take. If you have questions, you can always reach out to me. My contact information will be available to you. Yeah, and I'm here for you. But on that nature of parts work, a part of me would love to stay with you all evening this evening. But a part of me also has another administrative commitment that I need to do, take care of for the RCC. So I'm going to be leaving in just a couple minutes. If I can, I'll pop back, but I'm not really sure if that's going to be able to happen. But I will be around. If you have questions, reach out to me through the Mighty Network or email or text, and we'll connect. So thank you so much.
Marian, thank you. I'm so excited. Marian was able to join us in October of this year. So actually, you know, a couple of months ago. So pleased to be able to have you with us. And Marian also really helped me with the planning of our first RCC retreat, which we had last August. So that was an amazing experience. So I wanted to kind of talk with you about, like, what's the goal? Ultimately, the goal is for you to be able to have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with the three persons of the Trinity and with Mary, our mother, particularly with God, our Father, and Mary, our mother. And the way that we do that, our little corner of the vineyard within the church, is to help with the human level, the natural level obstacles to that. Early in my practice, this is more than 20 years ago, I realized that people that had difficult relationships with their earthly fathers, they had a very difficult time with God as Father. When I ran across a person who was insisting on God as mother, I found over and over again that that person had a toxic father relationship. And, you know, that was the very beginning of seeing that, hey, some of these human level, very natural level developmental factors are impacting the spiritual life. And I've spent my career, my passion, in bringing the best of psychology and human formation to bear on how do we help people in their intimacy, in their relationship with God and with Mary. And how do I do that as a psychologist, not as a spiritual director, not as a priest, not as a religious, because I'm none of those things. But what I'm realizing is there was so little written about that. And there's so much of an impact that it can have. So that's kind of the idea behind the RCC. You know, what would I like you to be able to do in a year after you join the RCC? We are just about to graduate our first class. You guys are in the fourth class, the fourth cohort. Our first class is about to graduate. There are so many things that I would like you to be able to have in the natural realm. One of them is to have a much deeper understanding and connection with your parts. To be able to recognize the parts are not the burdens that they bear. You know, that parts have good intentions. That parts are ontologically good. That they're good in their essence. That it's good to have parts. You know, so, and to begin to bring parts work into your spiritual life in subsequent years, in the advanced cohort, in the years beyond the first year, we actually do a lot more in the spiritual life, because the idea is that there's been a lot of that human formation work done. So can the self, your innermost self, the core of you, be a mediator between your parts and God? Because I think that's really an important role for our innermost selves within us. Are we able to accept the parts of us that are like our inner lepers, our inner tax collectors, our inner prostitutes, lost sheep, the ones that are outcasts? Can we be gentle with them as our Lord was? Can we be firm with them as they need to be firm, but in a way that is actually grounded in an authentic self-love? You know, our Lord told us in the second great commandment, Luke 10:27, love your neighbor as yourself. That implies that we have a relationship with ourselves, that we're actually supposed to love ourselves. And that often gets distorted. St. Thomas Aquinas would say, we're going to love ourselves one way or another. We're either going to love ourselves in a disordered way, or we're going to love ourselves in an ordered way. And how can that love for self be ordered? You know, so I've got a few more things I could say. I think what I'd like to do is kind of talk a little bit more about just who's a good fit. The first thing is that everybody that joins the RCC is Catholic. And we ask if you actually believe in what the church teaches in its fullness. That there not be folks coming in who have disagreements about settled doctrine or dogmas of the church. That's a safety thing. We really emphasize safety in the RCC. People who have been in therapy are particularly good candidates usually, or who are in therapy concurrently. It doesn't work if what you really need is trauma therapy to try to bring in the RCC as a substitute for that. That doesn't usually work. That won't work usually. You know, if there's a need for a lot of personal one-on-one attention, we can't offer that in the RCC. If somebody's really having difficulty with just basic grounding, just basic stability, that's not something that the RCC can compensate for. We're looking for folks that are psychologically minded, invested in their own human formation, motivated to grow, because there is work. There's no doubt there's work in this. Who embrace the idea that we have a multiplicity within us. You know, this idea that we are a unity, but also a multiplicity, like an orchestra is, there's a unity in an orchestra, it's one, but there's also a multiplicity in the orchestra. You know, there are, you know, many musicians and a conductor who's kind of like the innermost self. Sometimes there's technology barriers, right? We need folks that can handle Zoom meetings, you know, that can operate within our app. Folks that value the human formation work enough to make a commitment to it on a daily and weekly basis. And then, of course, the last thing it's an important thing. A legal adult, 18 years or older, right? We're not working with adolescents or children yet. So, was a fair amount of information that we've already put out there in the emails to the wait list and that is posted on our website. The time is often a question. 75-minute company meeting every week. Your company is composed of anywhere between 7 to 10 men or women. It's always all men or all women. You'll have a companion, and this is really like an accountability partner. There'll be one or two of those. We do companion pairs or trios for checking in on a regular basis. And that's about not about disclosing everything that's going on inside you, you know, because that might not be the best thing at all. But at least, are you working your human formation plan of life? Are you checking in with your parts in the morning and in the evening? Are you doing your part sessions? And all of that will be laid out in the content that I offer. And then once a week, we recommend that there be a real live, and that, so that daily check-in with your companion could be as brief as a one or two line text or email or private message on our app. Yes, I've been checking with my, I checked in with my parts this morning and I've carved out the time to do it this evening. I mean, that can be as simple as that. It's a basically an accountability thing. And then once a week, we do, I recommend that there's a 10 to 20 minute conversation with your account, with your companion. A lot of times the relationship with companions can stay just at an accountability level. We've also had friendships develop organically in that. We let that really be in the discretion of the folks that are in the companion pair. We start with an assumption that you don't really know anything about internal family systems, except that you have an interest in it, you know, that you have an interest in this part stuff. Episode 71 of Interior Integration for Catholics gives the basics of internal family systems. And episode 73 also brings in some of the Catholic, some of the ways that I see it interfacing with Catholicism. When we approach this, anything that we know to be true by divine revelation, we're not questioning that. We harmonize all of the human formation stuff with what we know to be true by divine revelation, not the other way around. We're also looking for folks that are committed to personal prayer, even if it doesn't go well, even if there's a struggle. We're not asking for people that are, you know, at peak functioning, people that are leaping from one pinnacle of, you know, optimal human functioning to another don't need the RCC. So if you're open to it, I'm going to invite you to do just a real brief kind of drop-in exercise to connect with parts of you that maybe you haven't connected with yet about this meeting, about the RCC. Maybe there's something that has not yet become clear that's a concern that you would like to you know, that you'd like to ask or that you'd like to bring up in some way. So if you're willing, and if this doesn't work for you, that's okay. You know, you don't have to go along with any of these exercises. There's no pressure that way. But if you sense you're open to it, this will be only about 4 or 5 minutes. Just going to invite you to just notice anything that might be up for you. And if you want to turn your cameras off, you're welcome to do that. You know, that's perfectly up to you. Perfectly fine either way. I'm just going to invite you to notice, as you think about the RCC, as you think about what you've heard, so far, as you think about what you've learned about what the RCC is like or what it might be like, just going to invite you to listen to any questions you might have coming up from your parts. Any question can be asked of me. I will ask that if we're going to ask it in this forum, that it'd be a question of general interest, one that might be relevant to a lot of people. If there's a particular question that's very specific to your situation, I'm going to invite you to email me at crisis@soulsandhearts.com or call me 317-567-9594. But any question about the RCC can be asked. And that we're looking for all parts to be welcome in the RCC, even those parts that may be condemned by other parts. So there may have been some parts that have been silenced by other parts that have not been given a seat at the table. And I'm wondering if we can have a big open heart to questions or concerns that those parts might have. Sometimes you might have parts that are very adamant. They really want to move forward. They think the RCC is the way to go. They don't want any other parts getting in the way. They want to heal you. They want to make you whole. We're going to do it this way. And there's not a consideration for other parts of you that have doubts or concerns. So can you have a big open heart? Can you entertain what might not have been heard yet? It might be helpful to write down what you're learning from parts, if questions are coming up or images are coming up. Concerns about, will I fit in? Am I too broken or wounded? Other types of concerns. And to think about how you might ask those questions. Is it okay to ask me in this forum? Could be anonymously, right? You could send me a private message through the chat. And I can answer that without identifying who's asking. We've got, 20-some people here today, 20 people. Is it something that you might want to ask me directly, kind of out loud, or might it be something that could be asked, discussed in one of my conversation hours or through email? Yeah, we've got some questions coming in. Thank you for that. I'm going to open this up. I'm putting my email and my phone in the chat too. Great. Okay, thank you. There's so much going on here. I love it. And I will get to everything that we're seeing, that I'm seeing in the chat one way or another. I'm curious if there's anyone that would like to just ask me something out loud. You know, if there's anybody that would like to unmute and just float a question to me. Right.
Dr. Peter, this is Avis Gomez. I posted the question about when you're spending that much time looking internally at yourself, mm-hmm. I'm worried about separating from the Lord.
Yes.
Just becoming so self-absorbed that God's divinity, God's part is lost somehow.
That is a really common concern, Avis. I'm glad you're bringing it up. When there's interior integration, when there's order inside, it frees us up to be able to get outside of ourselves, to die to ourselves. You know, as a clinician, I've had so many clients come in and they want to die to themselves, but they're not self-possessed. They don't actually possess themselves to give themselves freely. So what happens in those situations is that the self-giving or the denial of self or the forgetting of self is always a caricature because it's not grounded in the developmental work actually having been done. So I would like you to be free to be able to really enter into a deep relationship with God, to not have to deal with civil war within yourself. You know, I think of the self as a castle. This is a, you know, some imagery from St. Teresa of Avila. If your castle is caught up in civil strife, if there's infighting, if there's battles going on inside your own walls, it becomes very difficult to go on a diplomatic mission to anyone else's castle. And so I see self-absorption as a consequence of a lack of integration. Because if there's all that battling going on inside, because our parts are not getting what they need, because there's a lack of leadership and guidance from your innermost self, if we attend to that, it gets so much easier. I think of these parts as like little children inside of us. And if you've ever had little children in a car ride, a long car ride, and you actually meet their needs, it goes so much better than if you don't. You know, so that's another sort of example there. Is that helpful to you, Avis? Does that get at what you were asking?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I am kind of a fan of St. Teresa of Avila, so your analogy is helpful.
Good. My own spirituality is very, very Carmelite because of the emphasis on union and relationship, you know, really deep devotion to particularly St. Teresa of Avila and St. Teresa of the Zoo. Okay. We have a question here, is age a factor? Most, and we had a later question of like kind of some of the demographics. You know, age is a factor in certain ways, but not in others. Typically, when we match up companions, we won't put someone who is 67 with somebody who's 25. All right, so we do think about like life experience and things like that when we're matching companions. Most of the people in the RCC are in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. A few in the 20s. We have some that are in their 70s. But we haven't really found age to be a factor, apart from if it starts to lead to a lot of health conditions that make it hard for people to attend the meetings and things like that. So let's see. How could I know if the RCC is going to be the right help? I don't want to commit to something that ends up being unhelpful and be stuck for a year. Prior men's groups have been a waste of time. By the time you're to the 10th session, 10th week, people generally know if it's a fit or not. We do ask if it's possible for folks to stay with the RCC for 10 weeks. After that, and even before that, we don't hold people if they don't feel like it's a good fit. We might want to talk about that if there's like issues within the RCC, especially on the women's side. Folks really can reach out to Marion and do so a little bit of just conversation and see how that's working out. The men usually I talk to. But it's not a prison. We'll let you go. You know, we don't want to hold people in if it's not a good fit. There is a 19-minute meditation that I put out in the last weekly reflection, the one that came out on Wednesday, yesterday. It's also in the email that I sent out to those that were on the waiting list this morning. That can actually help sort through some things. What we're looking for is that parts are at least, the parts that you're in touch with are at least offering grudging acceptance of joining the RCC. If people come in and they've got some parts that are just adamantly opposed to joining the RCC, but those parts are overpowered by other parts that are adamantly about joining, that generally doesn't work. That generally doesn't work. And what you might want to do in that kind of a situation is seek some individual help, an IFS-informed coach or therapist to help sort that out so that the idea of joining the ICC is at least tolerable or acceptable to all of your parts. Let's see. I don't know if that was that helpful, David? You're still with us. Okay. And then, is it okay to have internal apprehension? Yes, it's okay to have internal apprehension. But again, if a part is saying no, then I think we want to make sure that before you join, you address that. We don't do any high pressure sales stuff in the RCC. We don't use manipulative tactics or fear, any of that. There's another time to join it. We're open. We take new cohorts every December and every June they start. So if it's not the right time, we can wait. Age and gender and race, the demographic. So I addressed age a little bit. Gender is, we are probably around a 5-to-1 ratio men or women to men. We generally have about 4 to 5 times as many women as we do men. And race, that's a harder one because we haven't kept statistics on race. Predominantly white, Caucasian, with some folks that are Latino, some Asian. But again, I don't have solid numbers on that. And then the weekly 75-minute meetings, what do those look like? So in each 75-minute meeting, there'll be an opening time for just some connecting and sharing at the very beginning. Then there's an interconnections talk by me, which is usually between 12 and 22 minutes, depending on the topic. And that's really the more intellectual information that I'm sharing that's recorded. Then there's a discussion time around what you experienced in the interconnections talk. Then after that, there's always an experiential exercise, and that's between 8 and 15 minutes long. where you're actually going inside and doing the work. It's related to the interconnections talk. And then there's a conversation about that experiential exercise. And then after that, there's another sharing time. And then there's a very brief, usually 2 or 3 minutes, a wrap-up talk that I do, and then some time to discuss after that. So about 30 minutes of the 75 minutes, I'm doing some kind of presentation, and the rest of the time is discussion. Who leads the company meetings each week? Is that led by you personally or by someone else? Well, the way that this is set up is that it's a peer group. And so we do have what we call links and assistant links in each company. They are not really to be leading or facilitating the meeting. They're really to be there as a link back to us. So we provide a fair amount of structure. We provide the discussion questions. But the links and assistant links do things like take attendance. They get in touch with us if there's questions that the company has, things like that. But they're not really designed. It's not really designed for them to be leading. When in the RCC, we actually hold that each of you has an innermost self that has all kinds of amazing qualities and characteristics of leadership within yourself. And so we're looking to connect with those great qualities. So we have a lot of trust in the members of the RCC. We're also available. If there are questions, you can reach out to us and contact us. And usually on the women's side, that would be Marion, who you met earlier. On the men's side, at least for now, it's me. What about having to miss meetings? Usually, the usual things like vacations and so forth. Absolutely. We hope that you'll be attending 85 to 90% of the meetings. If you're missing half the meetings, that's going to be an issue, you know. But if you have to be away because there's a wedding or illness or something like that, we totally understand. All of the talks will be available, right? And the meeting. So after the meeting, you could catch up on what the interconnections talk was like, the experiential exercise, and the resources, the outlines and so forth of the talks are also available. So there's ways to catch up if you happen to miss a meeting. So in that, this is not brief therapy. How long is the duration? Ongoing without end. Well, first of all, it's not therapy at all. We don't provide any therapy or counseling. We want to be really clear about that. And that comes through that. It's not brief therapy. The first year of the RCC is 44 weeks where we have units, where there's meetings out of the 52. So we skip times during the year where there's Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and 4th of July. And we also try to avoid where there's high holy days of obligations so that we're not, there's not a company meeting scheduled over, a holy day of obligation, things like that. 44 weeks, and there's a structure for those 44 weeks. The topics are all laid out. There's an option to go on to year two or what we call the advanced cohort. Every graduating class has the option to flow into that advanced cohort. So if you want to continue on, there will always be programming that's going on for the advanced cohort. And different companies will come in as they complete year one and be able to join year two. There'll be a reformulation of companies and so forth. It's a separate decision about year two. I noticed that this therapy is related to psychodynamic. Are the parts reflections of the id, superego, and ego? That's a pretty theoretical question. Yes and no. Most people would probably associate exiles with the id because they're banished from consciousness. Most people would associate managers with the ego and with the superego. The self, the innermost self, doesn't correspond to the id, the ego, or the superego. I was trained psychodynamically. I practiced psychoanalytically for 15 years before I became much more invested in internal family systems. There isn't a good translation of the self, the innermost self, within the psychoanalytic tradition. Will the therapy be based on writings of St. Teresa of Avila's Interior Castle? Again, we want to be very clear that it's not therapy. We don't offer that. There's not a one-to-one kind of relationship. We're not offering clinical services, but no, we're not really basing it off of Teresa's of Avila's Interior Castle. There are certain analogies that I use that do come from St. Teresa of Avila's Interior Castle. For example, internal family systems is a constraint release model. What that means is that we're trying to release the constraints. If the parts are willing to unblend, then the self can shine forth, which is analogous in some ways to St. Teresa of Avila's idea of the soul as a crystal. You know, like the light in the midst of the crystal, but it's covered with grime. It's not an exact parallel, but there are some similarities there. Is this more self-directed healing, or is there some expert guidance throughout the program? It's more self-directed. It's very much in the self-directed, yeah. Health flex spending, no. Because again, this isn't healthcare. So it doesn't have it can't be reimbursed through health savings accounts or things like that, or insurance. Okay. And I have one more question here that came in from before. Can we pray to the Holy Spirit or to the Lord before beginning an exercise and during an exercise? The whole goal of this is for you to be able to pray in a deeper and more complete way, a more wholehearted way. You know, the first great commandment, love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and thy whole mind and thy whole strength. That's the order that it comes in all of the synoptic gospels. The whole heart first, not the soul first, the heart first. And so I want for you to be able to pray across all of your being, to be in relationship with our Lord, to be in relationship with our Lady, with the entirety of your being. The question is, how do you do that? Because what happens so often is that Catholics have some spiritual manager parts that run their spiritual lives. And in running their spiritual lives, they bring in God, they bring in Mary, when other parts are absolutely terrified. And so the question for me is, what's the impact of what's happening on the whole system, right? And sometimes parts really need to be able to experience the love of God through the self or through somebody else, and would be terrified about being introduced to God directly. And that takes a lot of gentleness, takes a lot of kindness to work with parts like that. Parts that are running the spiritual life and they're separated from God, they're separated from the self, separated from the innermost self, they will not be able to love the other parts of you very well at all. And so I really emphasize the importance of your innermost self being the mediator between God and your parts. And I think there can be a kinds of spiritual abuse that happens inside when certain parts of us are busy running the spiritual life. So it would be more about being aware of what's the impact of this, you know, across all of my parts, not just what the spiritual managers I might have might want. Okay. I'm going to introduce Bridget Adams. Bridget is one of our earliest RCC members that have been with us, and super excited to have you here, Bridget. And you saw some of the questions that came up. You have your own experience. Just anything you might like to share with, you know, in response to what you're hearing or anything else that might be on your heart, Bridget. So,
thank you, Dr. Peter. I just want to start by saying this is a tremendous opportunity that you're all investigating, and that it is something to very carefully discern, even as you go through. And my company is a company of 7 that started with 8, and one person did discern out, but her primary reason was the Zoom platform, I think. I don't think it was actually related to the content, and that is, in my experience, that's really the only part that's the hardest part to deal with, is that we're not in person. But the first annual retreat, which was held in August, was an exceptional opportunity to be in person. And it was just such an amazing witness. It was people from all stages in the RCC. And it's really life-changing to be seen, known, heard, and understood. I'm a person who came to the RCC with an awful lot of spiritual formation and experience with deliverance ministry and prayers and spiritual direction and regular confession and all the things. And yet there was really a piece missing. And that was what Dr. Peter calls our natural formation. And without the help that I've received in the RCC with understanding what's going on inside, I'm often just reacting on the outside. And in some ways, even in prayer, that's doing damage to something on the inside. And so many of the tools that we've learned in this first year have been very practical. And it is a bit of a time commitment, but when you start to not just, you know, see results, but feel results. And like Marian said, when your grown children start to notice that your interactions are more peaceful and self-led, I think it really starts to click in a way, and to make the investment of time and money and the relational, you know, investment of meeting new people and becoming, you know, frequently involved with them over the platform. I think one of my group members had a big fear of hurting her prayer life by the time that she was spending. And so when that question came up, I really remembered a friend in the RCC who was really, she just felt so conflicted about spending time on herself when she should be spending time on God. And she has actually become much more comfortable with her prayer life now that she's taking time to spend with herself, and that she's gotten to know what parts of her were really just commanding her prayer life, which is something I've also noted for myself, that when we have parts that are just driving our bus, is the expression, we might be very successful. We might be teaching confirmation class and running this ministry, or, you know, whatever the little trophies are that we have on our shelf, but what might actually be going on inside might be paralyzed parts, traumatized parts, you know, angry parts, distrustful parts, parts that are just being shoved under the carpet. So I can't thank Dr. Peter and the team of people that make the RCC run, and my own company members, and our Heavenly Father, our Blessed Mother, in the ways I've really watched Dr. Peter discern well the steps that he's led the RCC on. And so I'll close with this, because I literally could go on and on. I'm not trying to take over here, but when I first started listening to the podcasts, it even had a different name, and it was helping people deal with COVID crisis. crisis in the ways that we've been shut out of our churches and denied the sacraments and different things. And I really needed that at the time. And when he first announced changing the name of the podcast, you know, part of me was like, no, it is what it is. You can't, you know, but actually, you know, letting him be led by the Holy Spirit, and doing his parts work to take the RCC where it is. It's been very amazing to watch and to be a part of it. So I'm just really glad you're all here, even just discerning it and hearing what it means for those of us who are inside. Thank you, Dr. Peter.
Well, thank you, Bridget. It's an honor to have been able to be with you on the pilgrimage in the first year. I'm so glad that we've gotten to know each other, and so many great memories from the retreats and from other conversations we've had. So thank you. Do want to hit a few more notes from folks that have brought in some questions. Is the program free or paid? We charge. It's $249 to apply. And that's because there's a lot of effort that goes into each application. There's a period of discernment that goes into that. Part of that is the initial measures kits. Those are about 2 hours worth of measures that we ask you to fill out. From that, we generate a report that is about 6 pages long, where we'll identify in a very hypothetical way, 9 to 15 of your parts and how we see those parts interacting. So there'll be a report that we generate from that is part of the discernment process, both for you and for us. And so there's a lot of staff time, there's costs with some of those measures. And then it's $99 a month. So I think the total cost is like $1,347 or so, 99 times 12 plus the 249. That said, we never turn anybody away because of a lack of capacity to pay. So if what's really holding you back from, you know, being in the RCC is financial concerns, we will work with you. We've never turned anyone away because of money. And we've always found a way to make that work. How does one work with exiles as an individual? I thought that was kind of a touchy business based on the book, No Bad Parts. We use a text called the Self-Therapy Workbook by Bonnie Weiss, which was based off of a lot of the work by Jay Early in his self-therapy book series. There are ways to work with exiles for some people. Some of our people are very much able to work with their exiles and do so very regularly. Others are not there yet. So we start to work with exiles about halfway through the first year for those that are ready. For those that are not, there are alternatives. So we really invite you to recognize within yourself what you're ready for and what you're not ready for. If working with exiles is overwhelming, then we'll recommend that you work with a therapist or a counselor. Is it possible for it to work the other way, where parts need to learn to relate to God or Mary before they trust the self, especially if the self isn't terribly confident yet? So Richard Swartz argues that confidence is intrinsic to the self, that it's actually a gift that the self is given. So the idea of a self that's not terribly confident yet wouldn't actually compute in the way that IFS is understood. I believe that God doesn't invade us and work with parts without the consent of our innermost self. Now, there can be the ordinary way that this happens is God seeking permission from your innermost self to work with parts. There have been cases where parts have had direct relationships with God. It's not unheard of. But generally, because we are in a mediated religion, Catholicism is a mediated religion. Christ is the mediator between God and man. The priest is the mediator between us and Jesus in confession, for example. There's a mediated religion. And the exposure to God as he is can be way too much for some parts. Even Moses came down from Mount Sinai, covered his face with a veil because the glory of God that was reflected in his face was too much for the Israelites, right? So God wants to include us, and he wants to include the core of us in the relationship. So I tend to look really carefully when there's a desire that a part has to just relate with Jesus without the self, you know, or for a part to lead the spiritual life without the self. Would you recommend the RCC for licensed professionals? I hope that we have therapists that are coming to do their own human formation in the RCC. I've said this before, I think it's true. Therapists can be among the most difficult people to actually get to do their own internal work. You know, it's like herding cats to get therapists to do their internal work. It's easier for me to get other lay people, generally speaking, to do their own internal work than therapists. Therapists have reasons why they're very focused on other people. There's a lot that goes on within their own system. So when therapists are interested in the RCC, I get super excited about that. That's the rare therapist, actually. So not the rare therapist. A lot of them have done their own therapy. But so I don't want to overstate the case. But yes, absolutely. Is there a word besides parts? Yeah, I mean, some people object to the word parts. And you can think of it in terms of personalities. Other people like the word modes of operating, you know, that feels more more acceptable. Those are the ones that I will typically use most, modes of operating, parts, or personalities within. And do you match people more by immediately recognizable demographics like age, personal compatibility? We look at the IMKs. That one of the reasons for doing the IMK and the reports is to kind of think about what kind of compatibility might be there. It's not a perfect science, but we tend to match people. We try to match people in company, in companion pairs and trios that look good. Look like they might be good matches there. But we also do take into consideration age, different kinds of experiences, things like that. Yeah. Aspects. Yeah, Marion, thank you for that. Different aspects of the self or different sides of the self is another way of thinking of parts. Yeah, because sometimes people are like, that's too fragmenting. You know, are these different facets of the self? That's another word that I sometimes use. So I'm just curious if anybody has other questions for me, or Marion has joined us again, or for Bridget. You know, anybody that would like to ask out loud, that's a possibility too. If folks would like to, you can unmute. I do want to say that just because you apply, that's another step in the discernment, right? There'll be the whole IMK process is about discernment. We discern as well on our end. And so, you know, there's exchanges. You'll have a 15-minute meeting with either me or with Marion to go through your IMK results. That's also discernment. So there's a lot of different steps in this. It's not something that is just kind of a one and done decision, right?
I'm curious about parts. I know just a tiny bit about them. And I'm wondering, it sounds like everybody has parts. Mm-hmm. And I've been in therapy and some trauma therapy, those types of things. And having done a lot of work, I'm wondering about, am I naive to think that there's not more work to do?
I think that this human formation work is a lifelong endeavor for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at the saints and what they say about themselves and what they say about their human formation, do they say, let me ask you this, do they say, thank you, Lord, because I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that I am a superiorly functioning individual, that I am so head and shoulders above, you know, sort of the common little level of functioning. I thank you for, you know, no, they say, look, they recognize the wretchedness. They can see the disorder within with a clearer eye because they know that God loves them anyway. They know that God loves them and accepts them anyway. This work is really messy. It's untidy. And what people find as they begin to do their human formation work is that they start out with a certain set of goals, but then those goalposts move. Like as they achieve those goals, they realize, whoa, there's more that I would want to do. You know, I'm recognizing that there are other things because none of us are going to reach a state of perfection in this life. It's just not, it doesn't work like that. Does that get at what you were asking, Jeanette? Yeah, okay. But with a lot of gentleness and a childlike trust and confidence in our Lord, you know, and with a sense of awe and wonder. And I'm hoping for you the confidence of knowing that you are a beloved daughter of God. You know, and what in our human formation gets in the way of that? What in our attachment styles, you know, our attachment experiences with our earthly parents or with others, what needs to be corrected in terms of the God images that parts have that they labor under?
Peter, I just wanted to say something briefly.
Yes, by all means, Lily. It's good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. So I am a therapist and I'm involved in kind of the therapist's counterpart, if that's the way you might put it.
Our sister organization, the Interior Therapist Community. Yes.
Yes. And I've been involved for a year and I was just introduced to IFS a year ago through Dr. Peter. And I just want to share very briefly that it's been really significant for me personally and professionally. And I think it's allowed me to better access other means of healing, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I've just been more freed up to seek those means, to be open to them. And concretely, it's been helpful in my marriage, and not that my marriage was, you know, terribly suffering, but my husband and I are less polarized, and just changes in me he's just reacting differently. And the other day he said, I just really like the new and improved you, you know, and okay, now let's work on the new and improved me. And with my children, my relationships are stronger. And I have a lot more confidence professionally, and I'm growing in that. So I just wanted to share that with all of you.
Thank you, Lillian. Well, any other questions that folks may have before we end for tonight? Again, there'll be lots of time for questions kind of in the process of application if you decide to apply. It's not the only opportunity, but if there's anything else that might be coming up for you before we close. Well, I am honored that you would spend this time and that you would be considering the RCC so seriously as to actually come to this meeting. I do pray for all the applicants to the RCC. You're welcome to reach out to Marion, to me. Registration is now open for those of you that, you know, decide you want to take that next step. You can go to our website, which is our landing page, which is soulsandhearts.com/RCC. There's a button there that you can apply on. Marion, would you type that into the chat so folks would have that link? Thank you. And that gets things started. You know, if there is a need for some kind of write-off on the fees, talk to Patty Ellenberger about that. And you can reach her at admin@soulsandhearts.com. That's Patty's email address. Those of you that were on the waiting list, this information has come in through those emails. There's also information on our landing page. So,
I'm sorry, Peter, what email did you want me to, or link did you want me to put in there?
I can do it real quick. I think it's okay. Souls and Hearts.
I put Patty's in there.
Yeah, that's Patty's email address. And then this is the, if I spelled everything right, that's the, I have to go to everyone. That's the link. That's the landing page for the RCC. There's other videos up there. There's a video about safety. There's videos from previous meetings like this. And then we'll post this one in the next day or two up on the website as well. Well, thank you again. Marion, did you have anything that you would like to say since you were able to join us before we close? Any final thoughts?
Not a lot specific. I just think I kind of want to add, I didn't catch who it was, but they were asking about, if I've already done therapy. One of the things I realized when I came out of grad school, I'm a certified clinical traumatologist, which really meant that I have a part that's like a heat-seeking missile to zap trauma out of a person's life. And the more I learned with IFS, the more I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just being a bully. And I went into my therapist saying I wanted to do EMDR and just get this stuff done. Some really good managers trying to run my therapy. And so what I have come to see with IFS in relation to other forms of therapy is that it is so much gentler and more compassionate. It also affords us the opportunity to be able to learn about the little things that we might not necessarily decide it's worth taking to therapy. It gives you the tools to sort through some of the little stuff, like, why do I do that? I've been working with someone, why do I keep turning to Instagram? It's all in that parts area. And so it gives us so much of a broader range of getting to understand our own internal systems and how they relate to others. And so it's just a beautiful opportunity. The community does, it is time consuming. I don't think any of us would sugarcoat that for you. It is a commitment, but if it is the right commitment for you, a month or two into it, you won't be thinking about the time. So, yeah, thank you. Glad to see you all.
Again, reach out to us if you have questions, part of things that come up, and God bless. See you later.
Thank you both.